And she never married, but she's always loved doing that. And then, of course, the last one is those who are called to holy life as a member of an order. So I'm going to ask Father Sam to come home and talk about the sisterhood and being called to it.
Hi, I'm Father Sam. Hello, everybody. How are you? Are you cold? I'm cold. So why don't you stand up and just stretch a little bit. Stretch. If you want to give your neighbor a high five, give your boss a high five, give your neighbor a high five. Helps me to have notes in front of me, and I need somewhere to put my notes, so I'm going to use this recycling bin. And I don't know, is there anything else you want to do while you're standing up? I didn't have any other plans.
We're good.
Okay, great. So why don't we, yeah, you can sit back down. I'm also going to set a timer for myself so I don't talk for too long. So, why don't we start by doing this, by making the sign of the cross. Start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us how to pray. So I'm just going to invite you for a moment, maybe just to use your imagination, and to maybe picture, or try to picture, what you think Jesus might look like, how you imagine him looking, what color his eyes are, does he have facial hair, long hair. I find it pretty hard to imagine things like this, so it might help you. Sometimes what I have to do is I just imagine we had Eucharistic adoration here before, so I just kind of imagine myself looking at the Eucharist, or we have this great image of Mary in front of us. You might look at that image to sort of see how Mary looks. And there's something that Jesus wants to say to us that I want to make our focus today. It's five words. And so as you're kind of imagining or trying to imagine Jesus looking at you, hear him say these words. Share your life with me. That's going to be our starting point. So if you have your eyes closed, you can open them back up. And so Adam had asked me to talk about, the topic he gave me was discipleship as a path to holiness. We're going to define those words in a second, discipleship and holiness, but I'm pleased to report to you that discipleship is the only path to holiness. So I have nothing original to contribute to that topic. So what's discipleship? What does it mean to be a disciple? Simple definition, following Jesus. Being a disciple is following Jesus. What's holiness? Well, you might think of the word, they have similar roots, same root, the word wholeness. Right? To become holy is to become entirely who God made us to be. Right? And a lot of times there can be a lot of pressure on us to kind of like know who we are or have it figured out or to sort of perform or give statements to people about who we are. And the good news is that we don't have to figure that out by ourselves and we don't have to create it for ourselves. From all time, there is someone who has imagined and created you and destined you for greatness. And that being, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, already knows you completely, better than you know yourself. And so, it's not mainly our job to figure out who we are and to tell other people who we are. Right? First, we have to let God tell us who we are. And who you are is his beloved. To you,
he says, share your life with me.
I thought to go into this, I would just share with you a passage from the Gospels. It's from the beginning of the Gospel of John, when Jesus calls his disciples for the first time. Peter and Andrew and James and John. Is it okay if I read that to you? It'll take less than a minute. But I think this gives us like the perfect model for what we're supposed to do. And you're going to hear this kind of conversation, this interaction that Jesus has with his disciples. And each part, everything that happens, every sentence is important here. But there are four things I want to invite you to listen for that happen. But first, I'm going to find them in my notes. Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" The disciples ask him, "Where are you staying?" Jesus says, "Come and you will see." And then one of the disciples brings his brother to Jesus. "What are you looking for? Where are you staying? Come and you will see." And he brought him to Jesus. So just listen to these words from the Gospel of John. Actually, normally when we listen to the Gospel of Mass, we stand up because it's great. It's worth, like, somebody amazing came into the room, you'd stand up. So let's just stand up as we listen to this. "The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord." John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. That's discipleship, following Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, thing number one, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Second thing. He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You can sit down. And I know there's been a lot of listening today, and that can get a little tiring. And so I've gone to school for most of my life because I went to college, and after college I went to seminary for 4 more years and got like 3 master's degrees at the same time. So I've done a lot of listening. And so my tip to you is, right, you don't have to like remember everything that happens, but as you're listening, right, this is why the notebooks are helpful, right? Just if there's, from each part of the day, maybe just like one thing that kind of sticks out to you. And if there's something that sticks out to you, you might just write it down. And then that notebook is great because you have it. You can take it home. And then just in the next couple days, the next couple weeks, maybe come back to, right? Like if there's one thing that sticks out, or maybe just one thing from the day, right? Because it takes us time to kind of process and digest things. And I don't want you to have to process too many things at once. What are you looking for? When I was in high school, I had this sense that God was inviting me to something, and that probably whatever he invited me to, it wasn't going to be the thing that I wanted, and that it was going to take some sacrifice from me. And my main reaction to that was that I was really afraid. And so I tried thinking about other things. I was like, no, I'll just pretend like God wants this from me, and then I'll chase after that. And then I feel kind of disappointed and be like, well, maybe he wants this from me. I'll chase after that. And then I feel kind of disappointed. And then I kept having this persistent sense, like, God really wants to be part of my life. And if he invites me to something, I might have to, like, make some changes and make some sacrifices. And so I did the only reasonable thing. I became an atheist. And I decided God didn't exist. And I said, if I decide God doesn't exist, then he won't ask anything else from me. And I'll be able to be by myself, alone. I'll get to do what I want, and it'll be great. Guess what? I was miserable. And everybody knew it. I never told anybody I was an atheist, because then I would have had to explain myself and like give reasons. You know, I had to like be reasonable. I didn't want to be reasonable. I wanted to be miserable. But you know, being miserable, believing God doesn't exist, it's exhausting. You know why? Because we're created for reality. And when we resist reality, we become tired, right? Because like, I could push on this wall all I wanted, all day long. The wall won't do anything. You'll just be tired. We're created for reality. And reality is good. Because God, who created, is good. Whatever you're looking for, your fears, your anxieties, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, Jesus says, share your life with me. Where are you staying? So this is the thing about following Jesus, is a lot of times we think it's like really abstract, or like, or Jesus was a nice person, and so following him means I'll be a nice person too. Jesus also got crucified, so it's hard. It's right, it's more than just kind of like imitating this example or like repeating actions that somebody else did, right? And what the disciples did when they followed Jesus, following isn't like an abstract thing. They literally, like this is the thing the disciples do in the gospel. When they follow Jesus, they're actually just following him. He's walking around and they start walking around with him, right? Being a disciple is physical and concrete and real. And being a disciple doesn't just mean that, like, we have a different kind of way we think about things, although we do. It doesn't just mean we have our hearts change, although they do, right? It reshapes everything about the way that we live our lives. And what the thing that has to change the most, and this change takes our whole life, is to leave behind the attitudes that we have and take on a new attitude, a new way of acting, that's this. We are made for total self-giving love. To empty ourselves, to give ourselves in sacrifice. We can choose to do other things, sure. Are there lots of other things you can do? Yes. Will they ever satisfy the desire of our hearts? No. Following Jesus, walking where he walks, means that eventually we're going to walk up Calvary with him and experience the cross. And he's carried to the tomb, and he also walks out of the tomb, victorious and alive. Jesus says, share your life with me. Come and you will see. Follow me and you will see. Jesus says this to the disciples and they start walking after him. They follow him. They go to whatever house Jesus was hanging out at. And this is the thing. The Gospels really just tell us about three things that the apostles did. And this is like all of Christian life is one of these things. A lot of times they're with Jesus, they're praying. A lot of times they're with Jesus ministering or doing some work. And the rest of the time, you know what they did? They hung out. Jesus hung out a lot with people. We're either in life, if we're living our life the right way, we're praying, we're serving in some way, or we're hanging out. And when Jesus says, come and you will see, what he explains, reveals to the disciples for the first time, is that we can test, we can verify, experience whether God is good and whether he makes a difference in our lives. If we choose what's good in small ways and in big ways, right, we'll know. Because when we choose what's good, it has a lasting impact. It leaves us with a sense of peace or joy. It leaves us satisfied in a way that doesn't fade. We can find out things that are not genuinely good for us, because when we choose them, there might be a hit for a moment. There might be some temporary satisfaction, but then it fades. And then often when that happens, right, we want to keep going back to it because we think, well, if I just get enough of this, then I'll be happy. We can verify, we can test it like a hypothesis in a science lab, whether Jesus is good. Part of what happened to me in high school was that I started, while I was an atheist, I went to a chapel one day, and there was a Eucharistic adoration like you had here before. And I went in one day while I was an atheist, and the first time I went in, I experienced peace. It was, when I was 16 or 17, I am very confident, the first time I had ever experienced any peace in my life. And my family didn't really know what was going on. They didn't know that I had gone to this chapel or that I had felt peaceful or that I really wanted more of this peace. And so I kept going back and then I had started praying. But after a couple of weeks of this happening, I had come home one day from school and I was going upstairs to do some homework. And my mom looked at me and she said, "You seem a lot happier. We can verify. We can test whether following Jesus is deeply satisfying or not." He says, "Come and you will see." That's what it means to be a disciple. To follow, to test, to see. But what does it mean to be holy? To be holy doesn't mean we just try to act just like God all the time, because that's hard. It doesn't mean we pretend we have it all together. To be holy is to allow God to live his life as part of our life. He says to us, "Come, share your life with me." That's what it means to be a disciple. But to become holy, we have to make those words our own. So let's just close our eyes again for a moment. And if you want, you can imagine Jesus or picture him there. We're trying to listen to him say these words to us. "Come, share your life with me." But now we say those words to him too. Jesus, come and share your life with us. Live in us. Help us to live in your presence. Help us to follow. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's all I have to say. Great to be with you all. I'll be here the rest of the day. If you have any questions or you want to talk or anything, just want to hang out, I'll be hanging out. You're welcome, Adam. Also, Adam rocks. Thanks, Adam.